and top celebrities and the sports scene today.
Hi, this is Evan the Holy Fear, and you are talking sports with Randy Harris.
Randy's on the sports scene. He's working all the time. Brings you all the scores you need, so get him on the line. Pick up the phone and call him now and say what's on your mind. They should pay him double, cause he's working overtime.
Band holds him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't think he believes it.
This is Larry Hirsch.
Craig LeBron.
Jim Palmer.
Tony Fernandez.
Hardy Nickerson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Randy.
Randy Savage.
Ray Nitschke.
Chris Evert.
George Foreman. And I'm talking sports with Randy Harris.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Randy Harris. I don't think he believes it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's very important you don't stink today.
The Macho Man Randy Savage. And when I want to catch up on all the sports, I listen to the Randy Harris Show. That's the bottom line.
What is going on, everybody? It is the first show of 2016 coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada. Of course, Wegg's back in studio in the mothership.
Hello.
A lot of things to get to, a lot of sports stuff. I'm sitting here, I guess it was Thursday, 10:30, 11 o'clock, your time.
10:28.
Okay.
But who's counting?
Who's counting? Well, again, 7:30, 7:28, my time out here in Vegas. We're going to get to that. It'll be the second thing we talk about. The third thing we're going to talk about is the Hall of Fame and the three knuckleheads who should be shot. But let's start the show the way we should, talking about me. So last night, I am at a World Series of Fighting, because there's a lot of that here in Las Vegas as well. They're based here. I'm at the World Series of Poker sponsored event. So before everybody shows up, Alex, I go and I tweet a picture of the main table.
I saw that, yes.
And I said, what did the tweet say? What was I
going to
do?
That you were going to take down Phil Hellmuth that night.
14-time world champion Phil Hellmuth.
One more time, how many times?
14.
Okay.
Okay, so Phil shows up.
Gotcha.
We meet him. We take a picture. You know, we have some pleasantries. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, dude, I'm taking you down later tonight.
Confidence, I like it.
So 1, 2, 3, 4. There was about 5 tables. You know, of people playing. Every other table is losing people right and left. Our table, nothing. Nobody's leaving. Everybody's playing close. The first hand I played was awful. And then I just slowly played and played, and one guy left and one guy left. And then they split us up because all the other tables had openings. We're down to the final two tables. They move 3 of us from the table I'm at to Phil Hellmuth's table. Coincidence? Karma? I don't know what you want to call it. So I sit down, and the dealer goes, do you want in this hand or do you want to wait? Put me in, right? So the antes are now, I think it was $2,000, $4,000. Again, chips, not dollars. I get my hand, ace, king. Ace, king, right?
Pretty solid, not going to lie.
They're pretty solid. I'm pretty happy. Phil Hellmuth has the mic. He's running around doing his deal. He keeps coming back. He checks his cards. And again, I think the antes were 2-4, so there was about, you know, 8 or 10 in there by the time it came to me, and I had to put the 2 in because I was new to the table. I shove it in, all in. No,
man,
no, no.
Swinging
no,
for
no.
the fences.
I didn't do it yet. I said to Scott Peterson from MMA Weekly, who was playing at our table, Scott, get the camera, film this. All in. Phil Hellmuth comes over with the mic, and he starts, oh, my God, this guy's calling for the camera before he even puts all in. He looks at his cards. He calls. Okay? I had him covered. But here I am about to do what I said 4 hours earlier. I am going to knock out 14-time world champion Phil Hellmuth. He flips over his cards. Ace 4.
Okay. All right.
Like my chances, the only hand I don't like is aces. I hate pocket aces. I never seem to win with pocket aces. So he flips it over, and, you know, he knows all these numbers. You're a 3.7% chance of winning this, or 37.4, or whatever. They flop the three cards over. It is a 2, a 3, and a jack. You got to be kidding me, right?
So now you have like a 6% chance of winning.
Pretty much. I'm not really liking my chances right now. So then he goes and he starts doing this diagram, and he points to the two and he points to the three. He puts his ace right next to the two. Okay, now again, you know, you can't do this in real poker, but right. You know, it's just a charity event, a cool event. Winner wins a $17 billion drone. If I would have known the first person out got an Apple TV, I would have gone all in before it was even my hand, you know, just to win the prize. So then he puts the ace next to the two, and then he points next to the three, and he goes, this is where you'll put the five. The dealer flips over a freaking five.
Now, was he wearing glasses? Because he had to have had, like, some X-ray vision thing going on.
No. I mean, Scott Peterson twice went all in with, like, a really bad hand, and he goes, yeah, but I'm lucky. So Phil Hellmuth comes over, and he goes, okay, it's beauty versus lucky. I would have said beauty versus the beast. And, you know, they do the flop, they do the turn, they go to the river. Bam, Peterson wins.
So, needless to say, your plan didn't quite turn out.
It went Lovey Smith style. It blew up in my face.
Out the door.
You like how I did that, huh?
I see what
so,
you did
there. So, you know, I still was in, and then I just went all in the next hand, really, just to get out of there, because by then it was time to go to. Could have been the worst event I've ever been to in my life. It was a thing for Michael Jackson. A major electronics company couldn't get their electronics to work.
Yeah, that's kind of a necessary thing.
How about that?
When you go to something like the Consumer Electronic Show.
You would definitely think about that. But enough about me for now. We'll talk more about me in the next break. But huge news, you know, and everybody seems to think that without a doubt it's Dirk Cutter.
Well, and that was going to be my question is, yes, if you're thinking logically, one would think that he's going to be the next in line to take over the helm of the team. But with who's available, are there any better choices out there than the current offensive coordinator?
Absolutely, there's a better choice, and that will be whatever minority they have to bring in to interview under the minority rules, okay, because it's already out there. Stephen A. Smith is already out there, who I can't believe I just even said his name. And somebody said this to me earlier, and I'm not sure if they want to take credit for it or not, and if they do, they can text me. But shouldn't the Bucks kind of get a buy on that? Haven't they already done that? Haven't they already proved that they're not racist? Their previous two out of three head coaches were African-American. It's not a racist thing. You want to hire the best coach that you believe you can work with, that you believe of those two African-American head coaches was not even qualified for the job. But people are already out there like, oh, you can't hire Dirk Cutter because you have to follow the Rooney rule.
There's a difference between bringing them in to interview, which I believe is the way the rule is stated. They have to have at least one minority coach come in to interview for an open position. If you have them come in to interview, that's one thing. But there's nothing that says that they can't stick with Dirk Cutter, correct?
No. They can hire Dirk Cutter after they bring in a minority to interview. And I believe that I am going to get with Danny Alvarez, our legal analyst and advisor.
I'm surprised he's not texting you right now.
Well, he might not be listening. He might be in the gym. I think that we should file suit against the NFL and every other major sporting organization until they start interviewing Martians. Because until you interview Martians, you are not upholding the laws of the world. Yes, ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous,
that was so far out there.
I would like to see not only the three knuckleheads that refused to vote for Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Into the Hall of Fame. I believe they should be shot.
99.3% of the vote.
Highest of all time. And I believe Jason Stark tweeted out that those three have not come forward. And I guess you can't reveal who you're voting for. So Jason Stark and a lot of people have shown their ballots. Are these three knuckleheads embarrassed that they're morons? And so that's why they haven't revealed that they're the three? How do you not vote for Ken Griffey Jr.?
Now,
I have called the Hall of Fame, and you know it, and Ed knows it, and Rib knows it, and everybody is well aware the fact that it's the Hall of Pretty Good.
Correct.
Because the Hall of Fame should be for the elite of the elite of the elite. The Hall of Fame should almost be for people that deserve to be unanimous. And if Ken Griffey Jr. is not a unanimous pick, are you kidding me? Is Brett Favre, which we'll find out on Super Bowl Saturday, is he not a unanimous?
One would think, but in the past we've also talked about the potential that a voter out there would be voting no specifically because they know that it would otherwise be a unanimous vote if they didn't vote no. So it's sort of just in spite almost.
Sooner or later, it's going to come back to bite these old people. Well, one of two things are going to come back to hurt and or haunt the old folks that are probably the ones responsible for this. One, they're going to eventually die off. Or right. Two, and I believe I just got a text that two of the morons have come forward. So if our crack staff who was texting me, if they can tell me who that is, that would be. That's almost like, you know, voting for Fedor Emelianenko as the pound-for-pound greatest fighter on earth. You know, it's just ridiculous. Now I've lost my train of thought because I'm going all over the
place. Voters, they're either going to die off or...
Right. Or what's going to happen is, and I was discussing this at dinner, or I believe in the South it's called supper. All these people are going to say, you know what? I'm going to be the guy this time. I'm going to be the guy that's not going to vote for Brett Favre. And then he's not going to get enough votes to go into the Hall of Fame on his first ballot. That's going to eventually happen. And we could only hope.
Now, when it comes down to it, does it really matter if it's unanimous or not? I mean, the bottom line is, first ballot, he's in. He's got going to have his bust put into the Hall of Fame. Does it really matter?
You know,
in this case, now that he's already been voted in.
You know, yes and no. No, it doesn't matter because all these, you know, all the athletes, including technically is get in the Hall of Fame if they believe they deserved it. And hopefully the former Cardinal knows and believes that whoever voted for him should be shot as well. They should line them all up. And I would even, you know, recommend using the same bullet. Just line them up right behind each other so that the one bullet can take out all four of the knuckleheads. Why waste more bullets? That's
fair
kind
enough.
Of my, that's kind of my theory. Does it matter? Probably not. But if you are the elite of the elite, and none of the elite of the elites have ever. Wayne Gretzky wasn't unanimous. I don't think there's ever been a unanimous, and I just don't get it. Now, on the same line, I'm sure my family's sitting at home listening to this show right now, and they say, you're the J.A. that says it's not the greatest meal of all time, because if you call it the greatest meal of all time, then you'll never get the greatest meal of all time because you just had it. So if you vote somebody in unanimous, does that mean you can't ever put anybody else, you know, compatible?
Right.
So, you know, so I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. And this just in, I don't get it.
Ken Griffey Jr. had 99.3. Tom Seaver was the next most with 98.84. Nolan Ryan the next most at 98.79. I'm looking through so far. I have not yet been able to find who two of the three were, but the three are currently being called the Griffey Three. They already have a moniker for the infamous group.
Or Griffey Moron. By any chance, did you see I don't know if it was a text or a tweet. I'm not sure that the legendary, arguably the second greatest catcher of all time, Johnny Bench, has said, Griff, when you show up, bring the stuff that you stole out of my locker.
What?
You see that?
No, I did not. What? Did he expand on that at all?
Griff Jr. obviously was running around the Reds locker room.
When he was a kid, I'm assuming.
When he was a kid, when his dad played for the Big Red Machine and Johnny Bench. And by the way, the legend that I saw at the one of the malls here in Las Vegas, Pete Rose. And, you know, I don't know if he was clowning or if, in fact, he really did take something out of his locker. But now the crack staff is saying, no, the two people that came forward or the two people, whatever, they were talking about that voted for David Eckstein. Should be shot.
Oh, gotcha.
Gotcha. I'm okay with shooting them all. I really, truly am. Now, and here's another one. How is Cal Ripken not a unanimous? I think he was like just over 98%. So what would that be, about four people?
Rough, yeah, I would say. Well, and assuming that everybody voted, yes. Because needed, there are 440 total ballots. There are 330 needed for election.
I do understand how Cal Ripken did not get unanimous because he didn't play every game in his career. I'm sure he missed one game due to something, and because of that reason, he wasn't unanimous. What? Yeah. How is Cal Ripken Jr. not a – you know, and I've talked about this before with Randy Macho Man Savage and the fact that in their Hall of Fame and that Leaping Lanny and his brother Lanny came out and said that, you know, Randy's wishes were that Dad, Lanny, and Randy all go in. And I've always said that that's BS, that Randy should be the only one to go in. In this case, I think Cal Ripken could have taken Billy and Cal Sr. I think he could have taken the whole family in, and I would have been fine with it.
We also had Mike Piazza go in. He's the other inductee for this year.
And not bad for a throw-in. This is a guy that the Dodgers drafted out of respect to Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah, he was an undrafted free agent that was signed on. He had been the bat boy for the Dodgers for quite some time.
I believe that was his godfather.
Correct. Correctamundo. But this was his fourth year on the ballot. He received 365 votes, which was 83.0%.
Doesn't deserve to be in.
At all.
My theory, and you've made me pick before, so I said three, even though I think it should be one. If you don't get in on your first year, you're not eligible.
Oh, I give him five. I say five is enough. 15 is sort of obnoxious, but
because their stats change every year.
Exactly.
So when you don't get in the first year and you don't get in the second year, then your stats change. People have said, no, it's because the better players have already gone in.
Right, yeah. It just depends on
Piazza.
Who is your...
have gone in the year before, because he didn't stack up against them then. Now he's okay to go in? No. Don't see it. Don't get it. All right, this is what we're going to do. We are a couple minutes over. So let's hit a quick break, and let's go back to the most important story that came out. I briefly touched on it. Let's spend a little bit of time on it. The relieving of his duties with Lovie Smith. We'll get to that when we return. Broadcasting live from Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll talk a little bit about the two events that I was out here covering as well. This is Talking Sports.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
PostShare is the first mobile application that lets you post and share real-time content socially. Track the views and get rewarded for it. With an easy posting process, it's time you, the user, get rewarded for your posts. Download for free from the App Store and Google Play.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Check out our friends at West Chase Golf Club, just north of the airport off the Veteran Expressway, for a beautiful and challenging course. I've been out there many times, and the greens are great. Quiet, upscale, but very public, West Chase is consistently ranked in the top 10 nationally and number one in the state of Florida for customer service by the National Golf Foundation. Ask about the Advantage Card. Just $25 for Florida residents, and you'll get up to 40% off your greens fees, free use of the GPS system, and a bunch more. Log on to westchasegc.com for more. West Chase Golf Club. It's not private. You'll just think it is.
Holy Hog, the best barbecue in Tampa Bay. Winner of the 2013, 14, and 15 Best of the Bay. Holy Hog, the 2014 and 15 Mayor's Mac and Cheese Throwdown Champs as well. Holy Hog has four convenient locations on Armenia, Henderson, Carrollwood, and downtown Tampa. Also two locations in Emily Arena. Holy Hog can cater any size event, and the fall catering includes smoked hams and turkeys. So why cook during the holidays? Fresh smoked southern barbecue and homemade sides. Your hometown smokehouse, it's Holy Hog.
Budget Self-Storage is proud to sponsor Talking Sports with Randy Harris, heard every Friday. You want your garage back? Contact Budget Self-Storage. You need confidential documents shredded? Contact Budget Self-Storage. You need the spare room back? Contact Budget Self-Storage at 800-578-7135. Discounts and promos available at BudgetSelfStorageFlorida.com. Budget Self-Storage offers a 10% discount to military as well. That's Budget Self-Storage at 1-800-578-7135. Call today.
Got split ends? Thanks to Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon, the whole Talking Sports team can say,
we look marvelous. Fabulous.
Split End Salon is a family hair salon with affordable prices and conveniently located at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park. Sarah, the colorist and style director, can do it all. And if Mick can make me look good, then you know he's a miracle worker. So give Got Split Ends a call today at 727-481-8605.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Antonio Holmes of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
I'm going to let you bring us back. Take it away there.
No, news to me. All right. Well, ready, set, go. You did say that you teased, if you will, that we were going to talk a little bit about the events that you were covering out in Las Vegas before we headed back to the Lovey situation. So let's go ahead and hit up why you are out on assignment out in the desert.
And then we will get into the story of the year. It's the story of the year, 8 days in. Now, of course, it's because it's the biggest story so far. The fight of the year in all of sports for the next, I don't know how many weeks are left or days are left or whatever, but Robbie Lawler and Carlos Condit put on a great fight. Two rounds for each. Round three. I love that everybody's tweeting out, well, round three was the one. Yeah, no kidding. It was pretty obvious Robbie won two rounds. It was pretty obvious Condit won the two rounds. Round three was the close round. And I've even changed a little bit, okay? And I will never again, sitting where I sat, if I am not sitting cage side, almost if you're not watching, if I am not watching it on TV, if I am in the arena, and I am not watching it on TV or sitting cage side, I am going to attempt to never claim who wins a fight again.
Were you striking out?
It's not that I'm striking out. The problem is I had a very good seat. I was in the 100 section. I'd like sitting up a little bit higher. You can watch. You can this. You can that. But you can't see every punch. You can't see every block. You can't see, you know, how hard everything is being so far away. And I've always said as a judge that it's not fair. I don't like when fans say, media say, I've even had some judges say, well, let me rewatch it. As a judge, you don't have that opportunity to rewatch it. So I've never rewatched it as a judge to say, okay, maybe I was right, maybe I was wrong, because judges have to be, they should be right every single time. Where I sat, I might not have seen, and I have been told, some of the punches that Carlos Condit threw in round three were blocked. Some of the punches that Carlos Condit threw in round three never even came close to landing. But when you're sitting far enough away, you can't see that.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah. You know, so where I might have thought that Carlos Condit won round three from where I sat, if a lot of those were air punches, obviously there's no credit for that.
Sure.
It was a fantastic fight. It was unbelievable. Round five, another Rocky Balboa, rock'em, sock'em, this punch. He threw a punch. Robbie threw a punch. Very entertaining. A great fight. And a lot of things have come out of not only that fight, but the entire week that I've been here. Will there be a rematch between Condit and Robbie Lawler? It has been announced, I don't know officially or not, but it has been announced last night. Holly Holm and Conor McGregor will both fight in March back here in Las Vegas, so that where I was originally going to go to Rio for the Anderson Silva fight, that appears that fight, even though Anderson's now in Europe, I think it's London or England. Now those two, that'll be the main, the co-main. I don't know if I like or dislike it for Holly because of the mega rematch that'll probably be in July, again back here in what was rumored and hoping to be the UFC arena, which I now is now, what is it, T-Mobile? I think it's the T-Mobile arena, as the naming rights have now gone on the new arena here in was that she wanted to fight before July, but she wanted to be on a co-main with Conor because then she would get points of the pay-per-view. Conor's going to push the numbers unbelievable, and she'll still be able to get paid. But UFC, whatever number it was on Saturday, enjoyable. Robbie Lawler being Robbie Lawler, and he comes out victorious. And in the words of most people, but not Derek Kukulich, Carlos Condit got robbed.
I don't know, and it gets into the question of
he got robbed
quality because, again, versus
just jump, right. Just to jump in real quick, you know, Derek corrected everybody who's calling a robbery when it's one round difference and a close one round difference. All right.
Now then you're getting into quality over quantity too, because unlike you, I have gone back and seen the highlights of that fight, and you get into it looked like Condit was landing some more punches and kicks than Lawler, but Robbie had a lot more power. There was a big strength difference between the two fighters, and the amount of damage that's done and how much does that play or should it play into scoring a fight. I will say that Carlos was a little bit more creative in his striking, but Robbie had more solid connections and I think was doing a lot more damage. And do you feel that should play more into how a fight?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, you know, plays into, you know, power versus, you know, quantity. But I'm sure anybody who has ever watched Robbie Lawler and Carlos Condit fight would have said that's the way it's going to come out anyway. Robbie's going to land the bigger punches, mm-hmm. and Carlos is going to land more. I mean, I don't even think we needed to watch the fight to know that that was the scenario. But it was a great fight. Everybody expected it to be a great fight. I don't think anybody thought Carlos Condit could knock Robbie Lawler out. It was going to be a grind. It was going to be Carlos Condit being what Carlos Condit is. And, you know, you didn't need to watch the fight for that to happen. But it was an entertaining, enjoyable fight. That was Saturday. And then I stayed out five more days to cover the Consumer Electronics Show. We have some sweet goodies to give away. We have some things that we are going to work on that our fans are going to absolutely love. One being, we will be giving away a hard side spinner luggage pack from Genius Pack. So if you go to their website, geniuspack.com, and check out some of this luggage, we're talking about a $200 piece of luggage that we'll be giving away towards the end of the month.
So what you're saying is I can't enter, can I?
You cannot enter.
Ah.
You and Rib are not eligible.
I tried.
I know.
What is... Okay, so we went ahead and talked about the events. We have to get back to the story of the year, as you called it. Lovie Smith on his way out. He is gone. Dirk Cutter, most likely the incumbent, if you will, staying here. Is that the right move, just in general, when you're talking about the grooming of Jameis, is moving Cutter from Oko up to the head coaching position, does that sort of put a little bit of a hamper on the development of Jameis and what he can do with the offense?
No, I definitely don't think it puts any damper on it. You know, if anything, relationship between the two, if in fact it is Cutter. And again, we're all just assuming. You know, my first thought was Cutter's going to go get these interviews. There was talk 3, 4, 5 weeks ago that Cutter's going to get a head coaching opportunity. He's been a head coach in college before. He's done a phenomenal job, you know, with two rookie offensive linemen. Now, again, it's not just him. Obviously, there's line coaches and quarterback coaches and whatever, but he oversees all of that. And all we can assume is what everybody has assumed. They were going to lose Cutter. They made a decision. If I have to pick between Lovie Smith and Dirk Cutter, we're going to go and keep Dirk Cutter. And for everybody that's up in arms, here's the thing that bothers me. And it's the same thing, and I'll eventually get to it later, about one of the, I think it's eight remaining Hall of Fame nominees. It's great to be a nice guy, but if you don't produce, that doesn't keep your job. 8 wins in 2 years, you know, a defense that has struggled, an offense that has struggled. You are the captain of the ship. You know, did he lose the locker room? I don't think so. I've talked to a few players, you know, off the record and such. Obviously, they loved him. But they're going to say that because that right guy? I'm asking you, was he the right guy?
I don't know. And it, again, you said 8 wins, but and then only 3 of those 8 wins were at home. So that's kind of rough if you can't win in front of your home fans. Now,
I don't have as big a problem with that, to be honest. Win at home,
because
win
it's
on the
win. A win is a win is a win.
I don't care where you win. So. If they would have gone to London and won there or lost there and it counts as a home game, or you know what I'm saying? Not you. I'm just saying the fans that are up in arms about home games. You know, well, we won that in London. Is that really a home game? I really don't care where you win, how you lose, how you don't close games, how you let teams, you know, walk all over you and you're not able to come back, ultimately has to fall, and that's the way sports is set up. It doesn't fall on the athletes. Especially your superstar athletes, it falls on the coaching. Three of the other coaches have been let go. No surprise that DC is gone, and I'm not about Derek Kukulich, but as of right now, they did keep Hardy Nickerson. So
you talk about how games are won, and yes, we saw some of the games the Bucks had the lead going into the fourth, or it was a close game going into the fourth. Or late into the game, there were a lot of situations where it was one thing or two things go the Bucks' way, and they could have had an 8-8 season, or maybe even a 9-7 season, something where it turns out a little bit better. If that happens, does that save Lovie's job? And how much talent is there to actually build on if you're bringing in another set of coaches within the last, what, 3 coaches in the last 5 years?
Absolutely. And if I was 14 inches taller, I'd be playing in the NBA. So, you know, it's that way. And a lot of times this year, and we've talked about it, you know, we talked about, I think it was the Houston game, we've talked about some of those games that they could have won, that they should have won. But when teams win titles, if you go back to 02 when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, all those balls bounced their way. That's just the name of the game. And again, 8 wins in 2 years. I liked Lovie as a person. Job didn't get done. And fans want winners. The owners want winners. Winning fills seats. Winning sells T-shirts, sells logos, sells whatever. And again, if it doesn't turn out to be Dirk Cutter, you know, then you got to kind of like wonder, did something else happen? Was there something else? You know, did he want more control? Did he want this? Did he want that? We're all assuming right now that it was mainly, the main reason was because they needed to keep Dirk here. If it doesn't play out that way, you know, then God only knows.
I definitely like
the other thing that I did, you know, read about was that Lovie was in charge of free agents and management. Jason Light was in charge of the draft. And if you look at the two, which was better?
Okay. Yeah. I see that. There was obviously Evans and Jameis were brought in from the draft in the last 2 years. And then there were a lot of the big name free agent signings that cost a lot of money that stayed for, I mean, they cut a lot of dead weight from last season to this season in free agents they had specifically brought in for last season.
Let's don't just say Mike Evans, and I'm still not sure about Mike Evans because he was on a scale of 1 to 10, a negative this year.
This year maybe, but he was a Rookie of the Year candidate his rookie year, and then you have Jameis Rookie of the Year candidate for this year.
I understand, but when you're talking about something from last year and he was awful this year, I wouldn't bring him up. I would just bring up the success so far. You know, Alexander, the offensive lineman, Winston, you know, all of that. I would just use that if I'm defending Jason Light right now. I'm not going to use Mike Evans as, you know, hey, I drafted Mike Evans because this year they might have won at least two or three more games if it wasn't for Mike Evans. You know, and a lot of people have gone out and said it's the player's responsibility to keep their coaches. If you're in love with Lovie Smith, then you go out and perform. If you're in love with your boss, then you go out and do your job. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I mean, and I'm not blaming Mike Evans. He was awful this year. But I'm sure that's one of the things that if he makes a couple of those catches and now it's 11 wins in 2 years, two wins last year, add three more into this year, then you almost can't let Lovie go to keep Dirk.
I have two questions for you, still sticking on the Bucs. First off, regarding Evans, do you feel that since he produced his first season, was this just a sophomore slump that he had, and then is this something that he can come back from? Or was that flash in the pan his first season, and then it's going to be tough to try to come back from the lack of performance this year? And then second question, I'm reading an NFL.com article. Greg Rosenthal has placed the Bucs as top of his list of NFL best vacancies, considering Winston and the crop of players here right now. Do you feel that this is one of the top job opportunities?
Yeah, I really do, because I think that they do have a lot of talent. I think they do have a lot of young talent. You know, with the exception of Jackson, with the exception of, I don't even know anybody else. You know, Jackson's the older guy who may or may not be back. I think if they address the corners and the DBs and safeties and, you know, they clean that up, then, yeah, I do believe that this could be a good job. I do believe the owners are good. I do believe the owners want to win. The owners spent money last year, you know, wrong. But again, you know, when you're coaching staff or your GM or whatever, and they're like, yeah, let's go this way, let's go that direction, whatever, then, you know, the owners are doing what the owners are supposed to do.
Give them money to do their job.
I do agree that this could be, not only location-wise, since Rookie of the Year, you have Alexander back next year, you have a good core of linebackers, your D-line, you're going to go out and get another D-lineman. The offensive line did what they did. Yeah, I think this could be a sexy job for not only a new head coach, whether it's Cutter or somebody else, but it's also a place for some of these free agents, these high sought-after free agents, might want to take a look at. The drawback, and you've already said it a few times, as have I, three head coaches in 5 years, this will be what? Four coaches now in 6 years. You have to have some stability, and somebody, not that whoever your head coach is going to be, because you don't turn down a head coaching job, ask Raheem Morris. A top-notch free agent might say, I don't know. You know, the carousel might just be a little bit too much. Lots still to get to. Again, way over, which is typical when we have a lot of things to do. Maybe we need to add more hours and more days and all sorts of stuff. We'll talk about that when I get back to the mothership, when I get back to Florida. But right now, broadcasting live out here in Las Vegas, Wegs and the Mothership. This is Talking Sports.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network. Monster Jam tickets are the perfect gift this holiday season, January 16th and February 6th. Whether your kids have been naughty or nice, don't be left out. Tickets start at just $15 or save 20% on a two-show ticket. Get the same seat and go to both shows for as low as $24. Get your tickets now at MonsterJam.com. All seats $5 more ticket show, plus $2.75 facility fee. Additional fees apply. Metro PCS, Circle K, 1-800-ASK-GARY, and your Southern Ford dealers present Monster Jam. Brought to you by Dairy Queen, January 16th and February 6th at Raymond James Stadium.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field. Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Isn't it time you felt the luxury in your massage experience without the expensive prices? Choose to invest in a healthier state of mind with Massage Lux. Visit our North Tampa location or our West Chase location opening soon to receive your first massage for only $38. Massage Lux is known for our highly trained massage therapists who focus on your needs. Plus, Massage Lux also offers facials, skincare products, and waxing services. So what are you waiting for? Experience the luxurious lifestyle you deserve at an affordable price. For more information, visit us at MassageLux.com or call 813-681-2232 to schedule your appointment today.
Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey presents Legends. Expect the unexpected and believe in the unbelievable. Only at the greatest show on earth, where legends live. Treat your family to an unrivaled and unforgettable event of legendary proportions. Don't miss this year's ultimate family experience. Visit your local participating Metro PCS store today and get a $6 savings coupon with offer details. Playing now at Amalie Arena. Brought to you by Metro PCS and your Southern Ford dealers.
I'd like to welcome Tampa Arms Company to the Talking Sports and the Players Show family. Tampa Arms Company provides it all, from training classes for pistols, rifles, and shotguns, as well as the concealed carry classes, to AR-15 build classes. That's where you'll learn to build your very own AR-15, and at the end of the class, you keep the rifle. Online ordering is available with over $1 billion in firearms and accessories at TampaArmsCompany.com. Classes free trust, and products are also available at Tampa Arms Company. Check them out today at TampaArmsCompany.com. Springfield, Glock, Century Arms, Remington, Smith & Wesson, plus much, much more. And no limits of ammo. If it's in stock, buy the quantities you want. That's Tampa Arms Company.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Len Swan, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
One, two, one, two, three.
Do I want to continue on Hall of Fame talk? Do I?
A little bit. We only have about 17 minutes left in the show. Let's spend about 5 minutes on there, and then we can keep on going because there's still plenty to talk about.
Here's my issue. Here's my problem. Here's my thought on Hall of Fame. I'll throw it out. If you want to, great. If you don't, we can move on. There's other things to talk about. 15 names. It's now been narrowed to 15 names that will be announced Super Bowl Saturday. Brett Favre, Steve Atwater, Don Coryell, Terrell Davis, Tony Dungy, Kevin Green, Marvin Harrison, Joe Jacoby, Edgerrin James, John Lynch, Orlando Pace, Kurt Warner. I'm sure there's others. To me, a Hall of Famer is the best of the best, right?
Supposedly.
To me, a Hall of Famer is, as you're watching a game, and the problem with what I'm about to say is, a guy like Joe Jacoby, okay? Guy was a superstar with the Washington Redskins. Okay, I think he does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. The statement that I'm about to make is, when you're watching a game, when you're listening on the radio, when you close your eyes, you can see Brett Favre throwing a touchdown or, unfortunately, an interception. But you know what I'm saying.
Right.
You can picture him being successful. You can picture Marvin Harrison making a great completion, making a great catch, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Morton Anderson? Morton Anderson should have gone to the Hall of Fame 2 years before he was eligible. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, absolutely.
And because this phobia of special teams, this phobia that took Ray Guy 412 years to get into the Hall of Fame, Morton Anderson to me would be, if I was doing the ballot, and there is a lot of great names that's on this, I think Morton Anderson would probably go down right below Brett Favre. And I'm not even looking at the full list. But I think Morton Anderson, before Edgerrin James, before John Lynch, Orlando Pace is a superstar before him. We might have to discuss Kurt Warner. I'd have to look at numbers and stuff again. But to me, Morton Anderson, 1,000%. This may get me thrown off of Tampa Bay Radio. Please explain Tony Dungy to me. He's a great guy. He's the lovey guy. Everybody loves Tony Dungy. He won a Super Bowl. And don't say, thank God we can hit buttons so I don't have to hear a single person say that John Gruden won the Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's team.
Right.
Because for the 412th time in the last 2 days, he didn't. I don't think Tony Dungy is a Hall of Fame coach. And Tony Dungy may get in before somebody like Morton Anderson. So that's the Hall of Pretty Good.
Now, what are your thoughts? And describe this to me. Just explain this to me a little bit. How does an owner, in your opinion, since they don't have those types of stats to rack and stack against other eligible members, how does an owner get into the Hall of Fame, in your opinion? What do they have to do?
They have to want to win. They have to put a team out there. They have to, you know, run the business like it's a business and win. Al Davis is a Hall of Fame owner. There is absolutely no doubt. Al Davis, George Steinbrenner, Mark Cuban. To me, that's what I consider a Hall of Fame owner. Somebody that will do anything just up to the line. You know, again, there's been some things over the line. You know, within the rules, within the rights, that they will do anything. They will bring people in. They will let people go. They will hire. They will fire. They will whatever they need to do. They treat, you know, I don't even know if this matters, but they treat their employees, you know, like decent people. Their main goal is to put a winning product on the field, on the court, on the ice, whatever.
Now, I bring that up because Edward DeBartolo Jr. from the San Francisco 49ers, he's still eligible as an owner. He was the owner from 77 to 2000. So, correct me if I'm wrong, this is his last day or his last year of eligibility, correct?
I you know, then he'll probably come back in the senior circuit like everybody else. And there's two names that are in the senior circuit. The two senior finalists, these are players whose careers ended more than 25 years ago.
So
I'm a big Ken Stabler guy,
mm-hmm.
You know, an Alabama guy, which we do still need to touch base with. That'll be Monday. You know, I liked Ken Stabler. I'd met Ken Stabler. But if it's taken this long, they don't deserve to even be mentioned in my eyes. But Ken Stabler is one of the two senior finalists.
The other one being Dick Stanfield, guard for the Detroit Lions and the Redskins way back in the 50s. Now, I don't get it. So, obviously, if they're eligible now, that means they were eligible way back when.
Correct.
Last year was 1958.
Correct.
The Cuban Missile Crisis hadn't even happened yet.
Correct.
So, I just failed to see the relevance at all.
We only had 46 states back when he last played.
Exactly.
And again, that's my problem with all of this. You know, if it's the Hall of Fame, it should only be the greatest players to go in there. And if here they've been eligible for 15 years, I guess it is, after they played, then they fall off. And now it's 25 years after you're done that you're now eligible. It's ridiculous. And I just think it makes the names and the athletes even look sillier because you didn't make it then. And then, you know, they come back with, well, You know, there because you can only let eight in at a time. He was so that means he was the ninth best player every year in eligibility. Ridiculous. All right, real quick, Monday night, the undefeated Clemson clan take on the Crimson Tide. Your thoughts?
For me, this is a coin flip. As an SEC guy, I'm going to say that I feel Alabama is going to be able to take this. They obviously, in the program themselves, they have more experience going to this deep into the season, playing in the new year. But I don't know, Dabo Swinney as a coach, hats off to him. He's been able to take Clemson to a new level recently, and it's really impressive to see where they've gotten. But in my eyes, the experience of the Alabama coaching staff, not so much the coach or the players, since they have more turnover over the last 4 or 5 years, I still have Alabama as the winner.
If Alabama wins on Monday night, does this make Nick Saban the greatest college coach of all time?
Boo.
And wow. I'm gonna tell you why I think it does. He still trails Bear Bryant,
mm-hmm.
but he is now winning championships, and the struggles that he's had the last year or two, he was still in, you know, the picture. In a tougher time, better talent, better teams, more talented teams. So I'm going to say that in fact it does make him the best of all time.
I would have to go on the other side and say, while that may be the case, again, he does still trail Bear Bryant. He was my pick before you gave your explanation.
But you don't think there's better teams now?
I agree there are better teams now, but you also can't, as much as recruiting plays into college football, you cannot control your opponents.
No, I totally understand that, and you can't hold it against them. You can't hold it against BYU that they won a national title when they didn't play anybody. You know, they can only beat who they're up against. I understand that. I'm not taking anything away from the Alabama teams of the past and what Bear Bryant did. But if Bear Bryant and the Alabama Crimson Tide back in the day, we'll say there was five good teams every year, there's 15 good teams every year now. It's harder to win a championship. And so that's why I'm giving the nod, you know, to Saban if he wins this one.
We still have to wait till 8:30 on Monday night. Let's go ahead and head out to the phone lines real quick these last couple minutes. Who do we have, Ed?
Larry in St. Pete.
Larry, how you doing, sir?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Welcome back to the show. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, too. I wanted to mention about Lovie Smith. I know it was a surprise he got fired. But I guess, I don't know, I know they had two bad seasons, and I understand if you don't do good, you're supposed to get fired. But I guess I'm hearing that they didn't want to lose the offensive coordinator.
Correct.
But that's not – they didn't come out and say what the real reason is, because if you look at Carolina, they're a defensive coordinator applying for jobs right now. They're not going to fire their coach. I'm just saying, so the reason is not because they don't want to lose the offensive coordinator. Last year, Seattle lost their defensive coordinator. He went to Atlanta to be the head coach. They didn't fire the head coach because they want to lose the defensive coordinator.
But Larry, it's a little bit of two or three things. A,
that's why I was saying, no, they shouldn't say that they don't want to lose.
It's not just. Right.
Yeah.
It's not just that they want to keep Cutter. It's the fact that their coach won 8 games in 2 years, and the fact that they think the offensive coordinator, you know, is going to move on or whatever. So if it's more than, you know, one, yeah, it's definitely more than one thing. But let's be honest, I believe keeping Dirk Cutter to them is very, very important at this point.
Right. And it doesn't mean that they're going to win with him. Like, if it doesn't mean that another team is going to hire him. If they didn't, if they would have kept Lovie Smith, it's not 100% sure that another team was going to hire him anyway. I'm just saying. It's
sure.
Just like the coach at USF. South Carolina was not going to hire him, but because he was interviewed, he got a big promotion. So I guess that's part of life. If someone thinks you're going to leave, they'll give you a promotion or give you a better pay or whatever it might be, so you don't leave. And I don't think South Carolina was going to hire the coach at USF, but because of him being interviewed, he got a raise, I guess, with other teams calling the offensive coordinator, and right. the Bucks don't want to lose him, so they say, hey, not saying they're going to hire him. It's not a guarantee he's going to be the head coach. Not right now. We don't know.
So if you guys can get that press release out that I'm going to be interviewed at another network later next week, I certainly would appreciate that.
Yeah, then they give you triple your pay, Randy. So
exactly. Yeah. I'll even take double at this point.
Double would be fine. Okay. Well, Ben, Randy, you got good benefits, man. You get a chance to go different places, so you shouldn't be – don't complain. You're doing real well.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying if I can double my salary, I'm all for it.
Okay. I understand.
All right, Larry. Thanks a lot.
All right.
I appreciate it. So – real quickly, I guess there's talk about Golden State, and are they going to play this out right with Steph Curry and his injury? Some people say that he needs to take a couple weeks off and rest, and other people are saying without Steph Curry, the Golden State Warriors are mediocre. Give me your thoughts.
I don't know if mediocre is the word I use. They certainly wouldn't be an A-plus team anymore. I think that he would make it he bumps them up to elite level. You have the rest of his supporting cast there, and I'd say they're an A-minus team, maybe a B-plus team without him. I wouldn't go as far as to say mediocre. It depends on how the season's going. Obviously, this was an amazing start to the season. So if you do pull back a little bit, you let off the accelerator, let him rest, then you set him up for success, and the team up for success later on down the road in the season, and you set yourself up for another championship run with a healthier Steph Curry than if you try to push through. So I think it would be a good idea to maybe give him a little bit of extra time to say, okay, let's take a quick breather, make sure you're going to be 100, and since I know you love saying this, we'll give it 110% later on in the season.
Two other basketball nuggets that I want to throw out. I don't know if you saw this, but Michael Jordan has come out and said that he once asked Ken Griffey Jr. for his autograph. So I think that's kind of funny. And then did you see, I guess it was last week or the week before, when LeBron turned around and there was a girl doing like the crying thing? Did you see that?
The crying thing, no.
She was doing, you know how you like you take your hands up to your eyes and you like roll them back and
so
forth?
So she was mocking him?
She was mocking LeBron. Okay. LeBron kind of turned around and saw it as she was doing it. And then the total shock in her face. I read somewhere where she is suing LeBron for $15 million because she felt her life was threatened by the look that he gave her.
Wow. I don't even have words. I don't have words. It's kind of like suing McDonald's for... hot coffee getting spilled on you because you didn't know it was going to be hot coffee.
I order some hot coffee. Oh, it's too hot. I'm suing.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you look at somebody and they look back at you. You're saying that you can tell intent by somebody looking at you.
Another real
I would
quick,
say he's otherwise quick, occupied at that point.
Another real quick nugget from UFC-wise, UFC Orlando, it's been revealed that three fighters have been fined under the Reebok apparel deal. One being Cowboy Cerrone, who wore like a logo for his grandmother. And I guess he's come out and said he's going to continue to do it. And he's stepping up. I think he's the main event, by the way, in Pittsburgh coming up. But he said he doesn't care. He's going to continue to do it. And when you're represented by the Harvicks, I'm sure you're not overly worried either.
Yeah, you have backing there. So it's one of those things where you can consciously say, I'll take that fine. I'll pay it every single time. It was kind of like the rumor of Cam Newton getting fined by the NFL every time he handed a football to a child in the stands. That came out to be false, but
it is false.
That is not the case. But at the time that was reported, he was getting quote unquote fined for however much, and he was consciously doing that every single time. Same thought process.
Another real quick thing before we run out of time, and I know we're almost out. The supposed riff in the locker room between Gerald McCoy and Jameis Winston. I don't believe, because when it's all said and done, and we'll talk about this more next week, I don't think these guys care. These guys don't necessarily want to be out in the public. These guys don't necessarily want to have microphones in their face. So for anybody to think that Gerald McCoy is upset because he's no longer the face of the team, I don't think he ever wanted to be the face to begin with. But that's just my thought.
He's the leader in the locker room. That's all you need to worry about.
And even if he's not, I don't think he cares. I don't think he cares. He only cares about his job. He cares about trying to do his job out on the field. So with that all said, I'm headed to the airport. I'll see everybody back in the mothership, back in Tampa, St. Pete. Hit me up at Knockout Radio.
At KO Eggs.